Father, we do pray to you this morning to thank you for your mercy, to thank you for your grace, to thank you that you loved us as we were and as we are. The old song says, come as you are, and that's exactly what you call us to do. You change us as we come. You grow us to be more like you through the sanctification process. But Lord, you tell us to come as we are, and we do that today. Lord, I pray as we dig into your word, I pray that I would be able to be receptive to what the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading. I pray, the Lord, that each of us in this room would hear from you whatever it is that you want us to hear. No matter what the words are that come from my mouth, Lord, that we would hear from you this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being together, of sharing in your word, of digging in. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, the second part of our series on Who's Your One, the focus today is going to be on building bridges. Building bridges. Now, some of you may have seen some of the caricatures and the drawings and the cartoons where there's a cross that's stretched across a chasm, and the idea is that Jesus is the bridge that leads us from a life of sin and separation from God into the presence of God and being adopted in his family. And all of that's very, very true. But that's not the kind of bridge we're talking about today. The bridges that we're going to be talking about today are the bridges that we build. We don't build bridges to God. The Tower of Babel was an example of trying to be more like God and to build that tower. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about bridges between people that we have the capability of building. So to start that off, though, let's look at a real bridge. And we look at this bridge. How many of you can recognize what, where, and what that bridge is? Somebody just tell me. The Golden Gate Bridge. Probably one of the most famous bridges in the United States. A little bit of statistical information about that bridge. It's the second longest suspension bridge in the United States. Why does it exist? It exists to close the gap between San Francisco and Sausalito. Okay? It's to make a connection. The span of that bridge is 1.7 miles. That's over a mile and a half long to get across this chasm, to get across this body of water that before it was constructed, you had to take a boat. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever been out there, but that's not smooth water. It's pretty choppy. So the bridge was built to close the gap, to make a connection. And that's the purpose of bridges. And that's what we're talking about today. So keep in mind, the Golden Gate Bridge is the second longest span on a suspension bridge in the United States. The next question I want to ask you about that is, are bridges accidental? Have y'all ever found an accidental bridge? Oh, look, somebody accidentally dropped a bridge across the creek. Sometimes a log will fall, but I don't know that you trust that. Bridges take planning, and they take execution. Because you have to build these bridges, and they're all very intentionally planned and built. So what's this have to do with who's your one? Who's your one? We talk about, last week, Jeremiah shared with us out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at that right now. And in this particular passage, it doesn't call us bridge builders, it calls us ambassadors. But let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. It's going to be on the screen. If you want to flip there, that's okay. But we're really going to camp out a little bit later in a different passage. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. And in this, Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, see, he calls us right there Ambassadors. What do ambassadors do? They represent. How do they represent? Well, they got to know their stuff, don't they? I can tell you right now that if for whatever reason somebody appointed me the ambassador to China, it would be a failure. I know absolutely nothing about the Chinese culture. I know absolutely nothing other than maybe how to order a little Chinese food, and I usually get that wrong. Okay, so you have to be equipped. You have to be educated. You have to know what you're doing as an ambassador. But you also have to be able to cross that chasm, to build those bridges. A suspension bridge goes across a gap in the, I just lost my word, geography, a physical chasm across a body of water. Blah, blah, blah. Stop laughing. It's bad when your own kids laugh at you. But an ambassador has to build a bridge between people to establish a connection across cultures. And that's what we're talking about today. Okay, so that's the correlation between an ambassador and a bridge builder. One man wrote this about being a bridge builder. John Studebaker says, a bridge builder is one who has made a commitment to understand people with different backgrounds and beliefs in order to make Christianity relevant to these people. Listen to that. Understand different backgrounds and beliefs in order to make Christianity relevant. Christianity has to be relevant, but it cannot be watered down. Hear that again. Christianity has to be relevant, but it cannot be watered down. If we want to attract folks to fill this room with bells and whistles and gimmicks and come as you are and we love you and you're okay, I'm okay, it doesn't last. There have been movements throughout the history of the world where Christianity has become watered down and crowds have gathered and then they fall apart because the gospel is the gospel is the gospel and it cannot be changed. It cannot be watered down. It cannot be undone. And we need to remember that relevancy of Christianity does not change the truth of the gospel in a huge way. So rather than just listening to what I'm telling you about this and the relevancy of different cultures, in Acts chapter 17, and go ahead and turn your Bibles there because that's where we're going to camp out most of the morning. In Acts chapter 17, there's two very interesting case studies. I call them case studies. I don't know if the theologians would, but they're two interesting case studies of how Paul is making the gospel relevant to two completely different audiences because he is a master bridge builder. He's a master bridge builder. So open to Acts chapter 17, and to set the stage for you in Acts chapter 17, Paul, who has traveled with many, many different people, he's traveled with Barnabas, he's traveled with Timothy, he's traveled with Silas, and in this particular case, he is with Silas. So we open with Acts chapter 17, verse 1, and it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. The they there is Paul and Silas, okay? So that sets the stage. So he's on one of his missionary journeys, and Paul shows up in the town of Thessalonica, and what does he find? A synagogue. Who goes to the synagogue? The Jewish people. Okay? So now we're talking about what culture that is. We've got the stage set. The culture is a Jewish culture in a Jewish gathering of Jewish people. And Paul knows Jewish background really, really well because he's Jewish. Okay? So we continue reading in verses 2 and 3. In chapter 17, verse 2, it says, and Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. Pretty straightforward. There's the gospel. There's the gospel. Jesus is the Christ. He died for you and rose from the dead. And what method and what mode did he use to argue the point, to explain that? It says that he used the reference of the Scriptures. Why did he use the Scriptures? Because the Jewish people know the scriptures. You see, he is sharing the gospel, but he's sharing the gospel through the culture of the folks that are listening. So what's the result? What's the result of this? Well, we can continue that with verse 4. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. Was the gospel effective? Absolutely. Did Paul water it down? Absolutely not. Did everybody accept it? No. No, some. Some, it says, and some of them were persuaded. The point I want you to take away from that is, as we go down this road of who's your one, and you spend an entire year praying through this and building bridges with this individual, and they don't come to the Lord, you failed. No. No. Last week, Jeremiah told us, what is success? Success is sharing the gospel and building the bridge. It's not up to us as to whether anyone ever enters into a relationship with Jesus. You have to hear that. That's not failure. That's not success. Success is, Jesus, I did what you called me to do, and that was to share the good news with them. If we have done that, the rest is on God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If you qualify to be the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. You see, that's on him. That's not on us. And that's not a cop-out. That's what we're called to do. That's not justification for not being able to share the gospel well. That's not it at all. That's simply the fact. Our job is to share. His job is to call. Period. Okay? And even in Paul's case, this is what happens. And if you read the rest of that particular case study, you're going to find out it wasn't pretty. Those that followed him, but those that didn't, man, they stirred up more trouble than you can shake a stick at. They pulled Jason out of the house. They're looking for Paul. Jason had to buy his way out of trouble, is what the rest of that particular portion of chapter 17 says. These people were not just angry, they were violently angry. This wasn't rejection when your neighbor tells you, just leave me alone, I don't want to talk about this Jesus thing. This is like, I'm going to burn your house down. Okay? We're not going to come up against any opposition like that. Anybody in here ever share the gospel and somebody said, I'm going to burn your house down if you bring it up again? You see, but we succumb to that fear sometimes, don't we? We just sang, I'm no longer a slave to fear. And yet that's what restricts us so many times from being the bridge builder. Let's look at another case study. It's actually still in chapter 17, but we're going to fast forward a little bit to verse 21. Paul's moved on. He's no longer in Thessalonica, but now he has moved on to Athens. Okay, so he's in Athens in verse 22. Sorry, verse 21. Acts 17, verse 21 says, now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. What does that mean? That means that the Athenians loved to debate philosophy, Aristotle, all these others. All they wanted to do was get into this highly intellectual, well, what is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? What is? You know, these kind of things. So they want to debate. They want to discuss. That's all they're about is, let's take this to an intellectual level and let's talk about it. And if you got something new, I want to hear about it. Okay? So this is what Paul is walking into in Athens in verse 20. So now we pick up in verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, this is like the town center, the place outside of the Acropolis where they would meet together to sit around on the rocks and debate. It's a very interesting place. I actually had the opportunity to go there and to sit on those very rocks, and it's like, really, this was it? But when you think about the history that took place there, and that Paul was right there with these great minds of Athens to discuss these things, it's pretty eye-opening. It's pretty eye-opening. So anyway, that's where he is. This is the place where they all went to go discuss. I guess in Mayberry be the barbershop, but in Athens, it's the Areopagus. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation to mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has been given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Do you hear the gospel in there? Do you hear the gospel in there? There is a man who has died. We are called to repent, and he has been raised from the dead. Who's that man? Jesus. See, he's presenting the gospel again, but how did he go into this? He didn't go in there and say, "Okay, everybody open your Bible." Because they didn't have Bibles. They didn't know the scripture like the ones in the Jewish synagogue did. Now, do you suppose that Paul just had this natural inspiration of the Holy Spirit to walk in there that day and go, "Oh, wow, these people are different. Let me, Jesus, please tell me how to speak to them because I don't know their culture." He spent time in Athens. It said as he was walking through the city, he saw all these altars. And Athens also had temples everywhere, a temple to each one of the gods. And because they were so concerned they might leave somebody out, they had the temple to the unknown God. We won't leave anybody out. All inclusive, very tolerant. But Paul took the same gospel that he shared in the Jewish synagogue into the Areopagus with a completely different approach. He didn't water down the gospel. He didn't change the facts of who God is. He doesn't live in temples. You can't make him out of gold and silver. He created you. He died for you, rose from the dead, and you must repent. And yet he put it in terms that the Greeks, in all of their intellectual academia, could understand. So his approach was completely different, but his message was exactly the same. Let's look at the result of this encounter. In verses 32 to 34, again, and still continuing in Acts 17, "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." No surprise there. "But others said, 'We will hear you again about this.'" Cautiously optimistic. And in 33, "So Paul went out from their midst, but then some men joined him." You see, some were receptive and believed, among whom also were Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So you see, we have these two case studies. We've got Paul and Silas that go into the synagogue. And the bridge that they built culturally is, let's use the scriptures. That's what you're familiar with. The message is the same. We're going to share the gospel. The result, some believed, some did not. We go into the Areopagus, same Paul. Oh, completely different scenario because it's a completely different audience, but he still builds that cultural bridge to reach them, but he shares the same gospel. with the same result. That some believed and followed, and others did not. So what do we take away from this? A couple of things. The message is the same. Because Paul knows God. Paul knows God. He knows about him. He's met him personally. And he knows the gospel. The presentation, however, is different because he knows people. He knows people. And his engagement is consistent because he is intentional. He didn't walk into either one of those gatherings just to see what's happening. He walked into both of those gatherings with one single intent, and that was to preach the gospel. He is intentional. And that's what you see here about bridge builders. Bridge builders are intentional about knowing God, and this is what we have to do. We have to become intentional about knowing God. And I can tell you, you can't get that on an hour on Sunday morning. We can encourage, we can motivate, we can share the word with you, but if that's all that you're getting, you're missing the picture. You're missing the picture. You see, because we must know God, we don't need to know the sermon. We don't need to know what Joe says. We don't need to know what Jeremiah says or anybody else that preaches here. We need to know God. And how do we do that? We know God because we dig into here outside of the hour on Sunday morning. But there are also other ways that we can be helped. One of the things that Jeremiah and I talked about just yesterday that we're going to create for you as an aid, not as the answer, is on our website, we're going to actually start to put together a resource page that says, if you think that you need to know some more about theology, how do you know God? Here's some ideas. Here's some links that you can go to. Here's some books you may want to buy. They're going to speak to that so that on your time, you can know God as well as Paul does. You see, and we have to be prepared that way because even Peter writes about this, and one of our team shared last week the same particular passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. I think we have that on the screen. There we go. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, the troublemakers, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Here's the key. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You see, if we don't know God, if we don't know what we believe and how to articulate that, it's easy for those who do know the scriptures but have not chosen to follow God to argue you down. And I'm not to suggest that anybody's ever come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because they lost an argument. That's not the point. We love them, but we share with them. But if you try to share the gospel with anybody and you don't A, know their culture, or B, know God, you're going to fumble a little bit. And because you know that you may fumble a little bit, what's our natural reaction? I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I would rather say nothing than look stupid. That's not necessarily my case, according to my family. But when it comes to sharing Christ, sometimes that's the what we go, if I could get you to come to church with us and get Jeremiah to show you how to follow Jesus. So you just come to church with me next Sunday, and I'll introduce you to the pastor, and he'll tell you about Jesus. We don't come to church to learn about Jesus. We come to church because we already love Jesus. The church is a body of believers. And that's not to say that you should not invite your unsaved friends. And there's folks in here today who may not have that relationship, and we'll get to that part in just a little bit. But that's the whole point of this, is we need to be prepared. We need to know God. One of the best resources, I always hesitate to say the best because somebody's going to find one that's a lot better than what I already know about. Jeremiah's mentioned this in the past too. It's called the Bible Project. If you Google the Bible Project, They've got tons of videos and articles that help you understand what's in here. And that's not to say that you can't understand this by itself. It's not a tough book, but there are some concepts that you go, oh, I get it. So it's a very helpful resource, but we're going to work on that resource page as well. But the biggest, best way to know God is right here. It's right here. None of us are hesitant to spend another 30 minutes on social media or watching Netflix, but if you put that down for a little bit and pick this up, I promise you, you'll know God. So bridge builders are intentional about knowing God. But we also can learn from this case study that bridge builders are intentional about knowing people. Bridge builders are intentional about knowing people. And that's the second thing I want us to take away from here. We need to be intentional about knowing God. We need to be intentional about knowing people. David Hesselgrove says about knowing people. Maybe. There we go. Understanding another person's worldview or belief system is the starting point for communicating the gospel. Wait a minute. I thought the starting point was me knocking on their door saying, do you know Jesus? Nothing wrong with cold calling. However, there's an old saying that says they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You heard that before? I want to share the love of Jesus by loving people. The best way to start doing that is to get to know who they are and what they believe. Paul knew what the Greeks believed. He knew what their operating system was. He spent time there getting to know them and hit them on their level with the gospel. You see, this message here, that understanding where they're coming from. You know, bridges, we've talked about bridges making connections and being cross-cultural. That's important if you go to Nicaragua. That's important if you go to Haiti. That's important if you go to Cambodia, Indonesia. Is it important if you go to Roanoke? You think? I see lots of head nods. Too often, Christians are labeled as condemning the world. I remember a story where some righteous religious folks dragged this woman out and said she's been caught in adultery. The law says we stone her. And Jesus, who was the bridge builder of all bridge builders, got down, started writing in the dirt. And he said, you're right. So you who have never sinned, why don't you pick up the stone? Cast the first stone. And when he stood up, no one was left but the woman. And he said, where are your accusers? They didn't condemn you, then neither do I. But too often in our cross-cultural environment, we post on social media and we stand up and we complain and they're like, we condemn them all. The world acts like the world. Why do we expect the world to act like believers? I expect you to act like you follow Jesus Christ, even if you don't know who he is. Pardon me, but that's stupid. We protest all these different things, and we expect the world to follow our worldview, our belief system, and condemn them when they don't, and then wonder why they don't come to Jesus. I'm going to push you away, tell you how bad you are, tell you how much I hate your lifestyle, but Jesus loves you. Does that sound ridiculous to anybody? But too often that's our approach to sharing the gospel because we're not bridge building, we're burning bridges. We're burning bridges. We need to build bridges. We need to be where they are. We need to understand what they're like. It's not us versus them, it's us loving them. In order to build those bridges. Now, I'm not suggesting that you say, honey, he told me to go to the bar tonight. I'll see you after midnight. That's not the point. The point is that we interact, and you're going to hear more about that next week. I don't want to steal Jeremiah's thunder. He's over there. He's not giving me the eye, but I think he's thinking it. I don't want to steal his thunder for next week, because that's where we're going next week is you don't have to change where you are. This is talking about doing it where you already are, and that's next week's message. So that's all I'm going to say about that right now. But the point is we need to build bridges, not burn bridges. We need to love, not condemn. Paul didn't go in there and say, you know how stupid y'all are for building 16 temples to idols that don't exist? He said, you have an altar over here to the unknown God. Let me tell you who that is. Let me tell you about that. Let me interact into your culture enough to explain to you what you already thought you knew. How huge is that? How huge is that? So we're intentional about knowing God as bridge builders. As bridge builders, we're intentional about knowing people. And then the last thing is that we have to be intentional about actually building the bridge. If we do all of our Bible study and do all of our prep and we go to discipleship classes and never go out, what's the point? May as well go to a monastery, live like a monk. We have to be intentional about building bridges. I go to Lowe's a lot. Oh, listen to that. Yes, dear. Not TJ Maxx. I go to Lowe's. Sometimes one of the girls will go with me for working on their house or something. And they're like, Dad, is there anybody in here you don't know? And there's a couple of ones that I've built those bridges with. Because I go there a lot and I don't just check out and walk away. I mean, I don't like to be the guy if there's six people behind you that goes, hey, how's your life today? That drives me crazy when I'm the sixth person in line. So I try not to be that person when I'm the first. But if there's nobody there, you bet, we're going to talk. We're going to talk. I can tell you about the cashier whose daughter got married after a teen pregnancy, the one who had kidney stones and almost died in the hospital. Because we're building those bridges. I'm not saying how great I am, because I still haven't taken the next step. But we're building those bridges. Now, we can't spend all our lives building bridges and never communicate the gospel either. All that does is make friendships. And then when you go to their funeral and you find out they weren't a believer, that's pretty devastating. So building the bridge is the step, but you got to share the gospel when you build the bridge. Okay? So that's what it's all about, is that intentionality. Have you noticed that the word intentional seems to be coming out a lot? We have to be intentional about knowing God. We have to be intentional about knowing people. We have to be intentional. And why do I keep saying that? Intentional about building bridges. We talked at the beginning about being an ambassador, and then we started talking about bridge building. But you see, that's what ambassadors are. Ambassadors are intentional about knowing God. And ambassadors are intentional. Read what it says. Golly. See, the clock hit zero. That's what happened. Wow. What we cannot be are rabbit hole Christians. Look at this quote. This is kind of interesting. Rabbit hole Christians. This is the way that's defined. I may be skipping a slide or two, Chris. I'm not sure. Do you find that one? There we go. Rabbit hole Christians. If you recognize yourself in this, do not raise your hand. In the morning, they pop out of their safe Christian homes, hold their breath at work, scurry home to their families, and then off to their Bible studies, and finally end the day praying for the unbelievers that they safely avoided all day. Kind of funny, isn't it? Until you recognize that it's me. See, we cannot be rabbit hole Christians. This isn't us four and no more, where we're going to build the walls around here and thank Jesus that we're saved. And the world can go to hell, because that's exactly where they're going if we don't come out of our rabbit holes. We must be intentional, not intentionable. We must be intentional about knowing God, knowing people, and building bridges. And there's joy in that. This is not a condemnation. This is not a guilt message. This is a joyful message. Some will reject. We know that. Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Some will not. And there's a chance that you're going to build a bridge to your one. You're going to share the gospel with that one. You're going to pray fervently on your knees for an entire year. And they're going to say no thanks. There's a chance that'll happen. It's not on you. That's not on me. That's God's. But listen to the rejoicing and the joy that we should have. As Jesus shared in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 15, 4 through 7. For I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, Jesus says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Wow. More joy over one sinner. That's all we're asking about, isn't it? Who's your one? And if the angels are rejoicing and heaven is rejoicing, should we not rejoice? We sang Glorious Day a little bit ago. He called my name. Everybody's jumping and hollering. He called my name. And I'm out of that grave. We are so joyful that we have that. Should we not be just as joyful that we can share it? That Jesus Christ himself, through Paul's words, has called us ambassadors for him. Representatives. When we go forth as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, we are representing him personally in each and every person that we encounter. I can't think of a greater joy than that. Than to share the gospel through that. So let's build these bridges. I got one more bridge for you because I'm certain that at the beginning when I said that the Golden Gate Bridge was the second longest suspension bridge in the United States, there are those people in here that said, oh yeah, what's the first? Do you recognize this one? It's not quite as obvious, not quite as famous. But it's the longest suspension bridge in the United States. It was built from 1958 to 1964. It's got two levels, six lanes on each level, and over, listen to this, 100,000 vehicles per day cross that bridge. 100,000 vehicles a day cross that bridge. Any New Yorkers in here? What? The Verrazano Narrows Bridge. It connects Staten Island to New York. If you're ever coming up the East Coast, it's one of the first things you see. It's beautifully, I should have had a picture at night. It's a beautifully lit up bridge at night. It's absolutely gorgeous. The span on that bridge is 2.7 miles, I think it is. And they said that the towers actually have to be tilted out, not much, inch and a half, because of the curvature of the earth, because it's so long. Unbelievable. Is this about the Verrazano Narrows Bridge? No. Is it about the Golden Gate Bridge? No. But the point is, it's a very intentional bridge. They knew what kind of traffic they're going to have. 100,000 people a day transfer truck go across that bridge to get across the water. Can we not go across one? That's what I want to leave you with. Not how impressive this bridge is that's in New York, but how impressive it is that we can each build a bridge to one person. Who's your one? One person. Now, you can't build a bridge to a non-believer if you're not a believer. You see, that's the first step, is you have to have that relationship with Jesus because he said in the Great Commission, I am with you always, but he's not with us if we're not with him. So if you're here today and you're like, I don't understand this, I don't get this, I don't know why. Matter of fact, I've heard it all my life, but I've never made that step. I've never accepted this, but I feel Jesus tugging on my heart today. If he's tugging on your heart today, he's not going to quit. So today can be your day, and it should be your day to understand the repentance, to understand that Jesus died in my place as a gift because I can be reconciled with God. Ambassadors of reconciliation, Corinthians tells us. That could be today. If he is tugging on your heart today, you need to surrender because it's going to be miserable till you do. If you have questions about that, I'll be down front. Jeremiah's going to be here. We have others all around that know what that means. So as the band comes up, I was supposed to call them up earlier. I forgot. Hurry up. Let's take a moment and we're going to pray. For those of you who don't know Jesus, my prayer is that today's your day. For everyone else, if you know you're one, pray right now.